what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing this praise which dwells within Zion. I long in his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing this praise which dwells within Zion. I hear longing, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing this praise which dwells within Zion. I hear longing, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the love of our soul, the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everybody. I pray that you have had a blessed week on this week and that you are ready to eat from the Word of the Most High. We are going to be doing a lesson tonight on holiness. Holiness, because I found that this is one of the areas that the modern day church really does not want to deal with. They don't really want to have anything to do with being holy. Even though the scripture says, be ye holy for I am holy. So we will be working on this precept on this evening. And then tomorrow we will be looking at why Messiah had to be born of a virgin. And these two kind of go together because they are dealing with how God deals with sin and what constitutes holiness. And so I hope that this lesson, that people find this lesson a blessing to them. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to remind everybody that May 24th is Pentecost 2026. May 24th is Pentecost 2026. And so we will be observing on that day, which is a Sunday. We haven't been doing any very many Sunday lessons, but, you know, Pentecost and Feast of First Fruits fall on Sundays, and so we observe those days. Also want to inform everybody that next week, probably after Tuesday, I'm not sure yet whether we're going to have a Tuesday night Bible study. Because I will be preparing to go out of town. And so I will be out of town for roughly a week or two. And so, you know, there probably will not be any Sabbath lessons during that time. So from the probably about the 28th through the 4th or 5th of May, if not a little bit longer. Just depends upon, you know, what I'm able to get done and how I'm able to get it done and the timing of things. Certain deliveries are scheduled on certain days, but I don't have a guarantee that they will be there that day. And so, you know, if they come earlier, you know, they'll have to hold it a day until I come and get it. Or if they come later, then I have to wait a day until I go to pick them up. But while I'm up there, I will not be coming back until I pick up these deliveries and actually inventory them, because I only have 15 days to inventory them and make sure that everything is there and accounted for. So with that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. and let us go before the Most High Elohim and do our statement of faith. And my computer here wants to lag for some reason. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us use the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just welcome you, O Yah Elohim. We magnify you, we lift you up, and we glorify your name. We extol thee, Father, for you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. And so, Father, we bow down to you and to you alone. And to you alone will we give our worship to you, for you are our Elohim and no other. And so, Father, we thank you on this day. And we just honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for today. Will come from Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. May the Most High bless unto the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
I will. was your instruction that led me this way. Now that I seek you face to face, with every breath that I breathe, I'll give it back to you in the form of my praise. Every chance I get, yeah.
Almost high, almost high.
Holy,
Precept for this evening is be ye holy as Yah is holy. Be ye holy as Yah is holy. We are commanded to be holy. So we want to start this precept once again in happy Sabbath to everybody. Pray that you have a blessed one, that you spend the time with the Most High. Be holy as Yah is holy is our precept for this evening. Leviticus chapter 11. If you will turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 11, let's get verse 44. For I am Yah your Elohim, and you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am Yah your Elohim. Now, in verses 11 and 44, Leviticus 11, 44, Yah said, we're not to be around here, you know, as his people, touching creeping things and eating those things or anything like that. And then in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, Yah says, sanctify yourselves and be ye holy because he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But he which shall has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, talking holy, living holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we want to look into what does this actually mean? To be holy, not touching anything that is unclean, not having any unclean conversations, and what have you. So let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 40. The book of Numbers, chapter 15 and verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your Elohim. Yah equates holiness with keeping his commandments, all of his commandments. So that's the first part of being holy, is to be obedient to his commandments. Let me read that again, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your Elohim. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah our Elohim, as he has commanded us. Modern day saints today want to put on the righteousness of God without actually doing anything that is righteous, without actually obeying his commandments. And doing what he says is right. And if you say that you obey his commandments, then they will tell you that you're trying to work for your salvation. Instead of that you are, you know, upholding the righteousness of God. So let me read this verse to you again so you understand what it's saying. And it shall be our righteousness. What is our righteousness? If we observe to do all these commandments before Yah our Elohim, as he has commanded us. You know, so many people tell you that you can't keep the commandments and that it's impossible to keep the commandments. That is a lie from the pits of hell. It's a lie. They just don't want to keep them. It's just that simple. They don't want to keep them. Just like Israel didn't want to keep them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So keeping the commandments of God is the first level of holiness, righteousness, before our Elohim. Anything other than that, then we are in disobedience and we are in unrighteousness. If we, don't follow his commandments, we're going to find that we are doing things that are contrary to him. And we're touching and eating things that are contrary to him, that are unclean and what have you. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Because a holy person is supposed to be separated from uncleanliness. Uncleanness. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, Yah, am holy, and serve you from other, and sever you from other people, that you should be mine. You can't act like everybody else. You can't do what everybody else does when you belong to the Most High. You can't be of the world. You can't be of organizations that are anti-God because they don't believe in keeping his commandments. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I was having a conversation about uncleanliness the other day. And I was, showing that, the cleanliness laws are actual to not be clean is a sin. And that it's a sin that is not unto death, but still a sin. And so Yah says to come out from among the nations and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Well, the church is saying everything is open to the church. They can eat and touch anything they want to teach. Just pray over it. But Yah said to only do that if it was to get somebody into the kingdom. Somebody invites you to dinner. You didn't have the conversation with them that you eat clean. They put something unclean in front of you, said, pray over it, and he shall bless it. He would sanctify it. And don't, offend that person who slaved over their stove because you didn't tell them that, you ate clean. It's the only time that we're supposed to be eating this stuff. But, they have never wanted to stop eating it. So they interpret the scriptures that it allows them to eat it. But that just reveals what's in their heart to do. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yah. If you were bearing the vessels of Yah, the tabernacle and those things, you were to not touch any unclean thing. But we are the vessels of Yah today. And we're not supposed to touch any unclean thing. And we shouldn't be consuming anything that is unclean. And we shouldn't be telling ourselves, that we can, so that we would do it. What's the third action? We're told to cleanse ourselves. Don't eat anything unclean. And then to cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Elohim. Perfecting holiness. Oh, but wait a minute. According to the modern day church, if you are perfecting anything, then you're working for your salvation. Because they really don't want to have to do anything. This is one of the most lackadaisical generations on the earth. And so they will basically allow anything to go. James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh unto Elohim, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you cleanse your hands? Simply by washing them, and then don't be doing unlawful things. Don't be running to harm somebody. Don't be stealing. Don't be doing anything that is sinful with your hands. And then purifying your heart, meaning that you are putting the laws and the statutes and the commandments of the Most High in your heart and in your mind. And you're going to do those, and you're not going to be double-minded and be fighting between what the world says and what God says. Because this is what they do today. They mix the world and the kingdom of the Most High together. And that creates a double-minded person. So we're to cleanse ourselves. Then we're to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. The book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify means to kill the deeds of the body. The things that you do that are earthly, that are worldly, that are contrary to the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because this flesh, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's all that's in the world, and these things are hatred against the Father. And so we're to clean ourselves of those things. So we're to put away sin. And sin is defined by the laws of God. The morals of man do not define what sin is. They can line up with it, the law of God, but the morals of man does not define what sin is. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, modern day Christians will try to put themselves up under only the law of love. But Messiah said no. All of the law, Torah and the prophets, hang on love. And so you don't just not do them because you say, oh, well, I love, because your love more than likely is not the way and the same as God's love. Your love is how you would love, which can be contrary to how God loves. The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Romans, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Instruments of righteousness meaning that you are doing things the way God says to do them. Not the way that you think, not what you think is right, but what God says is right. Don't obey this body. Don't obey this flesh. Then we're told to fear Yah as part of our holiness. Because holiness is tied to fear. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of Yah is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So the fear of Yah, people want to say, well, it doesn't mean fear. It means to have, you know, reverence, deep respect. Then they don't know what they're talking about. This word fear here is fear is there for a reason. You know, people don't want to obey out of fear. They want to obey out of love, but they won't obey out of love. Because when they use love as their motivation, then anything and everything that they want to do, they do. And they fear no retribution from the Most High Elohim. So when he says fear him, he's meaning that. You know, and the mouth that thinks that it can talk against the Most High or the man or the woman of God, that froward mouth. Yeah, God said he hates those. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Perfecting holiness is the fear of Elohim. What will perfect your holiness? The proper fear of Elohim, of God. Be afraid of what's going to happen to you if you transgress. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he tells you to follow peace and holiness, or else you won't see him. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So if you don't know what holiness is, and if you don't know what true peace is, if you're trying to go along to get along, but you're not living holy and a righteous life, then you're not going to see the Most High. You're just not going to see him. And then we are told to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When I ask people how to do that, I get crickets. Crickets. They have no clue. You know, they'll say something like, set your affections on things above. I say, okay, how and what? They usually just shut down. Because this concept of holiness is not, it's just not part of their life. It's not. They are too busy trying to do what they think is that they ought to be doing, and nothing of what God says to do. So the scripture says that holiness is required. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. For Elohim has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises, despise not man, but God. See, they think that by me telling them to be holy, and they despise and hate me, they're not despising me. They hate God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Revelations chapter 22, verse 11. Revelations chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So, you know, we're not really supposed to be trying to convince people that they are supposed to change. You can teach them. You don't say, well, you have to be holy. Let them be what they are, because they are, that's their judgment that they're bringing on themselves. If you tell them that they need to be holy and they refuse it, that's all that you can do. So holiness is not a feeling. It is obedience and separation from this world and the cleansing of ourselves, both physically and spiritually, before the Most High. We're supposed to keep the commandments. We're supposed to separate from uncleanliness. We're supposed to stop sinning, transgressing Yah's laws. Cleanse both flesh and mind. Fear Yah and hate evil. And we're supposed to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So without holiness, no man shall see Yah. But they think they're just automatically going to get into the kingdom, doing what they've been doing, and that what Messiah has done for them, they will walk in on that. The Messiah will look at them and say, get away from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me into outer darkness, because they refuse to be holy. They refuse to change their life. Okay, and so we're going to look at sexual immorality, because this is going to feed into the precept that we're going to do in the morning on this precept with why Messiah had to come from a virgin. Because see, all of God's laws and his ways are to help us to do what we need to do and to live holy before him in the way that he says to live. So, moral transgression, law keeping that brings death judgment. When we transgress moral laws, ritual and ceremonial uncleanliness requires cleansing, but it doesn't require death. The thing is that God still sees it as sin. Let me say that again. And we're going to look at a few of these examples so people can get an understanding. The cleanliness laws, God said that transgression of them was sin. So anytime you came into an unclean state, you sinned. You were guilty. But then the way to reconcile it was to wash, and then you were unclean for a time period, like till the evening. Then you were good with God again, and you weren't supposed to be killed for that. And so this is what's in the scripture. So we're going to go over a few of these because, you know, the scripture says the marriage bed is undefiled. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that it you know, because it said the marriage bed is undefiled, that it cancels out the laws of God. It means that God is not going to kill you for that. But if you do this, if you are in the marital bed or doing marital relationships with somebody that you're not married to, then he says, yeah, I'm going to kill you for it. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. Because this is sexual immorality. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Now this is a sexual sin. And it calls for the death penalty. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. So homosexuality. Their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality. If a man lays with another man like with a woman, then he's supposed to be put to death, both of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God or of Elohim? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, people who are having sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, people worshiping idols, nor adulterers, people having sex with other people's spouse, nor effeminate, men that act like they are females, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, prostitutes and those types, nor thieves, people that steal or want other people's stuff or that abuse liquor, or are fighters or take advantage of people by extorting them, by using something to, you know, blackmail them, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So these are all moral issues. And we were looking at the sexual aspect of these. If they're not in accordance with how God says that they are supposed to happen, then he says it requires death. So these are sins unto death. They bring judgment, exclusion, and destruction if not repented of. Lawful sex, marriage is lawful sex. It still produces a state of uncleanliness. A state of uncleanliness. Even when lawful, intercourse produces temporary uncleanliness, not death judgment. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16. If any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his clothes, all his flesh in water, and be unclean until the evening. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 18. The woman also with whom shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until evening. Let me read that again. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. So they are in an unclean state, okay? So they are not being rebellious. It is not a punishment that is unto death. No death penalty calls for this. You wash and you're unclean till the evening, but it's still uncleanliness and requires washing and tying. So the scripture shows that even lawful acts of flesh carrying a state of uncleanliness, but is not condemnation. So when I get into this about Messiah, I'm going to show you where being unclean, in a state of uncleanliness, you know, marital sex, is considered a state of uncleanliness, and it's also considered to be sin. It's just not a sin unto death. Distinction, sin unto death versus not. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Those can be, you know, if God has already said there's death for this particular sin, he says, you know, you're supposed to pray for them for that. But if it's not unto death, then you can pray for them. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. So any sins that are unto death, we're not supposed to pray for those. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So marital sex is not considered a sin unto death, or it is considered a sin not unto death. You wash and you are unclean until the evening. Okay, if somebody is fornicating, if they're committing adultery, we're not supposed to pray for that, because those are sins that they know that they are doing. You don't just commit adultery without knowing you're committing adultery. You don't just fornicate without knowing that you're fornicating. So he says you don't pray for those. So all unrighteousness equals sin, but some sin is unto death, and some sin is not unto death. Why this matters? From the law. Sexual immorality equal rebellion against the covenant order. Marital sex equal lawful, but still fleshly, and produces uncleanliness. This ties into the broader truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God ties, and I will show you how the Most High ties your conception to sin. And you had nothing to do with your conception, but he ties it to an unclean act and sin. Therefore, all have sinned. You are conceived in sin and iniquity. Even in a lawful life, man encounters uncleanliness, showing the constant need for cleansing and order, awareness of Yah's standard. So fornication, adultery, and sexual perversion equals sins unto death. You receive judgment, exclusion, and destruction. Lawful sex in marriage produces uncleanliness, and it requires washing and tying, but not the death sentence. Therefore, not all sin equals in consequence, but all must be handled according to Yah's laws. So holiness is not pretending something isn't sin. It is recognizing the difference and responding correctly to each. When we understand how God treats sin and how he judges sin, and that there are sins that are not unto death, but they are still sins. Most people don't want to believe when they're sleeping with their spouse, I don't know why I'm saying that word there, with their spouse. They don't want to believe that they are placing themselves in an unclean state, and that this unclean state, God has said, it is sin. And this is why Messiah had to come from a virgin. And so we will go into that on tomorrow morning. I pray that the Most High bless you, that you have a pleasant evening, and that you spend some time with the Most High. Think on these things. Because everybody thinks all sin equals death, but it doesn't. But you have to do what Yah said to do. With that being said,
I do if I don't have you. It's all about you.